Taf kuf yud alif omid alif lo yigama bohenes achoymes. We learned two, we're up to about two-thirds down the page. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to sip vinegar. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. Lo yigama bohenes achoymes. You're not allowed to sip vinegar on Shabbos because sipping vinegar is clearly indicates that the person is not well. Can you make it a little bit louder? Drop louder without going overboard. Testing. All right. Okay. Got it. So we have here the statement of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to sip vinegar. Tanya, you have a statement in the Brisa. Lo yigama upaylet. You're not allowed to sip upaylet and spit out. Avol megamau, but that's something that hissing sound. That's no good. Hissing sound drives me crazy. I don't know what to, you have to turn it on different angles.
That's the diner.
Okay. Lo yigama. Lo. We have the tanya. Lo yigama. Polid avol megamau boleya. We have a stira. The Mishnah says, okay, now, being that the Mishnah does not limit the halacha, we have a right to assume this is the derech of all Mishnayis, this is the derech and Shas. Whenever you have a statement and the Mishnah does not qualify the statement, we have a right to assume that the statement is true in its broadest context, in every single case whatsoever. So if it says here, when you're dealing with sipping vinegar, sometimes people sip vinegar and they swallow it. And sometimes they sip vinegar and they spit it out. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to sip vinegar, period. It does not tell us if the different types of sipping. Don't sip vinegar. So that leads us to assume that it's forbidden to sip vinegar, even if you will swallow it. So the time will embrace. It depends. Lo yigama upoyle, you're not allowed to yigama upoyle, you're not allowed to sip and spit out. Avol migama upoyle, you're allowed to sip and swallow. So we have a stira, because there is at least one situation where it is mutter. It's mutter to sip, to swoosh it around your teeth in order to heal the teeth, and then to swallow it. But the Mishnah says categorically, you're not allowed to sip vinegar at all. You have to say, even though the Mishnah, does not say so explicitly, we have no choice but to understand the Mishnah. We have no choice but to say the only time that it is forbidden to sip vinegar on Shabbos is if you spit out the vinegar. But if you will sip the vinegar and swoosh it around your teeth to heal the teeth and then swallow it, that is okay, because that looks like you're enjoying a Shabbos delicacy of swallowing vinegar. Rav Omar.
Did you learn earlier or someplace else that you should dip your challah into vinegar and suck on it?
Yes, that the Mishnah is mutter. You're allowed to dip food. Yeah. Food, but here you're not dipping, here you dip raw vinegar. To dip food in vinegar, chayim vinegar, and then to swan, then to eat the food, that's certainly permitted, because that's kedarka. And that's not nikor. Lehedya, l'shem refuah. But here you're not dipping your food in vinegar, you're just taking raw vinegar. You have on the table a bottle of vinegar, right? It says in the supermarket, vinegar. And you're taking the vinegar and you're putting it in your mouth and you're swishing it in your mouth. What are you doing? Obviously, you take medicine, so it's also medicine is also on Shabbos. But it says here, no, there are people that swoosh vinegar and they drink it, they swallow it. And the Gemara says that in Talmud Chazal, there were people that did this. They enjoyed. Now, vinegar really is wine. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's just wine that's been spoiled. People did this. So the Gemara is Nechnami. If you're going to swallow it, it's smoother. If you're spitting it out, it is also. And you have to also deal with certain types of vinegar. Today, the vinegar is not the vinegar of Talmud Chazal. Today, I don't know, what does vinegar come from today? It's not from wine. It's partly artificial. I don't know what they do. It's not the real thing. So it's not the real thing. The vinegar the Gemara is talking about is really wine that has spoiled. So some people like that type of wine. They like old wine that has become a little sour. It tastes good to them. Rav says, no, I can even tell the case in the Mishnah. You can do it. Kan lefnei tibul, kan liachar tibul. One is going before you dip. Rashi says lefnei tibul lefnei achila. Okay, so here he's telling us something that we are not familiar with. Their mode of eating. Rashi lefnei achila mutar shadarkon hayalitbol b'chaimetz b'chol yom. Their derech was to dip food in vinegar every single day. That's his dipping. Ul achar tibul osir hakol yom shekvar soad v'tavol kol tzarchoi. So after eating the food, after the main course has been served, if you you can even say the Mishnah is going where you're swallowing, and there is no stira. When the Mishnah says that it's osir, that's going achar tibul. When it says in the Brayis that it's mutar, kan lifnei tibul. When it says in the Brayis that you can sip vinegar and swallow it, that's before the main course has been served. It was their derech to do so. Kindly achar tibul, when the Mishnah says that it's categorically forbidden to sip vinegar, even if you will swallow it, is after the main course has been served. No one sips vinegar at this point in the meal. If you're doing so, it indicates that your teeth are hurting and you're doing l'shem refuah. Now the Gemara is a kasha. Now here we come to a beautiful sugya. The Gemara now says v'neima midelifnei tibul shari li'achar tibul nami shari. Let's face following yisoid. If something is mutter in one point in time, in halacha, if halacha permits something, at least on the same day, we'll give you just an example. This is a big sugi. We're only going to just touch just a few words of the Gemara. But if you have a hechatimsa where something is mutter, because in this situation the reasons do not apply in chazal alini in the mutter, that will automatically mean it's going to be mutter in every single circumstance. There's no such thing as doing a maisa, an identical action, that one time of the day it's mutter and the other time of the day it's osur. So here you have an action of taking vinegar, sipping it and swallowing it. How can it possibly be such a thing that before the main course is served it is mutter and after the main course is served it is osur? It automatically has to be mutter. Then let us say midlufnei tibul shari, since it's mutter to sip vinegar before the main course is served. Tibul here means the dipping of the food, and the dipping of the food, they would dip their food. Tibul means they would dip your food in condiments, so which basically means before the main course, shari. So that automatically means liachar tibul nami shari. Now, what's the proof to this yisoid from Yom Kippur? The shamina le'lerava, the islay hoyel. This is a concept called hoyel. Now, don't get confused. You have many hoyels in Shas. You have the hoyel iklam. Hoyel is usually used for guests. Erev tafshilin. If guests will come, you would feed them. So that's a different principle of hoyel. The Gemara here is a different hoyel. The hoyel of if something is mutter for one part, they must be mutter across the board. The Amar of Rava lekemidi. There's no such thing. The Shabbos shari uvi Yom Kippur moser. There's no such thing on Shabbos as mutter. Yom Kippur is oser. Hoyel the Shabbos shari uvi Yom Kippur nami shari. What's the example? The example is going to mikvah. Are you allowed to go to mikvah on Yom Kippur. Now the bottom line is we don't accept toil. We're going to see in a few moments. So don't get confused. Halacha lemaisa. This particular toil we do not accept. This particular one. Halacha lemaisa Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to go to mikvah. Okay. No such thing as going to mikvah Yom Kippur. On Shabbos you can go to mikvah. Why not? Why Yom Kippur is it different? Because Yom Kippur Rechitza is Osir. Shabbos Rechitza is not technically Osir. You don't do it because you may come to squeeze a towel. So there are leniencies in going to mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov that are not true for Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur categorically it's one of the Chamish Iduim. But the Gemara wants to suggest that since on Shabbos you're allowed to go to the mikvah, you're allowed to go into a merchatz as long as you do it in a certain way, or at least go to mikvah. So Yom Kippur also you should be allowed to do it, because Yom Kippur there cannot be anything that is mutter on Shabbos and is osur on Yom Kippur. Let's see. The leka hoil the b'Shabbos shav Yom Kippur nami shari. Now let's just see the Rashi who explains this concept. The name of, because it's a beautiful concept, try to go very quickly. The name of, you're not going to have this concept often in Shas. So it's kedai to sit over here. The name of midalifnei tibul shari. The ein l'chosh osur l'miksa Shabbos mutl l'miksa. There's no such thing that's osur for part of Shabbos and is moved to the other part. The Hashamim Lerob Perkyu Test, the Mesech Speitza, Diyama Gabi Tzfila, going to Mikvah, Hoyel, the Chiyagavna, the Tony Hassan, the Ein Matvilim Kelim Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Tevil Kelim on Shabbos, because it's Satakana, it's Mesakim. But the Odom Toivel, a person is allowed, b'diavad, allowed to go to mikvah on Shabbos. How can you go to mikvah? You're being misaking yourself. You're fixing yourself. Until now I'm tameh, now I'm tar. Or Tfilas Ezra, or whatever the person who wants a darg of Tahara. Why? How could you do so? But Amrinon, Kalim, nighttime, why can you not tell the utensil, Omar, Rav, Abimnation, Nirkim, Sakin, Kli? It's Nira. Aval, Adam, Nira, Kimaker, even though you're in your mind, the back of your mind, you're talking, being Sakin yourself, but it's not Nikar. Because people will say, you know why you're going to cool off. You're not feeling well, and you need to be Machazik yourself by dipping in the water, and that's mutu. That's not tikkun. That's just cooling off. You're not being masaking yourself. We say teinuch b'Shabbos the sharia. That's good on Shabbos because it's mutu, because there's no such for the sharia uchitza, because technically there's no prohibition to wash your body. Okay, it has to be done, not the entire body in one shot. That's another issue which is not for now. But b'yoyim akipurim the aser uchitza, it's aser. The akol yoydim the toivul hu masaken atzmai. Everyone, the Yom Kippur, everyone knows that you're doing it for tikkun, you're going it for tahara. So you're not going this with one thing. When you're going to cool off, that's a geder of rechitza. I'm not going into the mikvah because I want to be masaking my body of tahara. I'm going into the mikvah because I want to clean my body. That's included in the category of cooling off. But in Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to go into the mikvah to clean your body because Yom Kippur is also in rechitza. So the only reason why you're going into the mikvah is to be masaking yourself. So therefore, it's nikur lehegi, you're doing tikkun. And just like on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to be tovel the utensil because of nirikim masakin. You're not actually nirikim masakin when you go to mikvah on Yom Kippurim. So Michael Meimar. So the Gemara is ha ikol lemigzar atu masakin or tzvi. We should be goizer because it's exer, because of, just like you're masakin the leather of a deer. So you're masakin your body. It's part of the exer of tikkun. I'm a rava. So the answer is you're right. You know what the answer is? You're right. Technically speaking, you're right. It should be asur on Yom Kippur to go to mikvah because it's mechsi kimisakin, and you don't have the heter of it's that it's not mechsi. I'm going to mekar because Yom Kippur you can't do rechitza. But incredible chiddush. The other Rava leka midi the iser Shabbos the b'Shabbos l'shterei uviyoyim hakipurim litzar hoyle b'Shabbos lehavi lemeisrei b'yamikim. Since on Shabbos it's mutter, and Shabbos and Yom Kippur are both called Shabbos, the Nele it's mutter on Yom Kippur, we're not going to enact the Gezerah. Technically speaking, putting a utensil in a mikvah, a utensil, a clean mikvah, is really mutter. What have you done? It's not a physical tikkun. No, that's not called a real tikkun. Real tikkun is something physical. Putting something in a mikvah where it's a kedusha type of tikkun, that is not.
Can you say it's
makir patrish? No, makir patrish must be the physical change to the object. All malacha is defined in terms of gashmias. Something physical has changed. Putting something in a mikvah is a ruchnistika change, a ruchnistika tikkun. So there's technically nothing wrong with doing so. The rabbanim came along and said, Mechzei. It looks like you're being misaki. It's not really awesome, but it looks like Menela is going to be awesome with the Rabbanan. They made a gezerah. What about a person going into mikvah? There are grounds to be lenient. Why there are grounds to be lenient? Because it's not nikur lehedya. This mamish parallels the sugi here with refuah. It's not nikur lehedya. Oh, what about Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, it is nikur lehedya. Because Yom Kippur, the only reason why it's not nikur lehedya on Shabbos, because it looks like it's a rechitza, and then under certain circumstance, rechitza is mutter. So Yom Kippur also, you don't have that head of Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, it's mamish. Nechzi kimisakein. The Gemara lam de shavart. Since really it's not asr, that's the erste sach. Mikra din, it's not asr. It's only mechse. And since on Shabbos it's mutter, Memel Yom Kippur will be mutter as well. Unbelievable lundis. Incredible chiddush and halacha. Such lundis. You don't have such lundis so often. So therefore, the Gemara now is taking that lundis and applying to the case of vinegar in your teeth. The Gemara is the chiddush. Vinegar, we have a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah categorically says you're not allowed to sip vinegar. The Braisa says it depends. Sometimes you can. It's contradiction. Answer is, before the main course, after the main course. But if before the main course it's mutar, mimela, this yisoid, after the main course it also has to be mutar. Madach, you're willing to say this yisoid if going from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, koshchen, you should say the yisoid in the same day, going before the main course and after the main course. Unbelievable kasha, gvaldig kasha.
Why do you do it before the main course?
Why? That was the derech. We're far removed from their customs. This was the derech. I'm at high, so they get, yeah, you get yourself going, whatever it is. Yeah. The vinegar, you sip vinegar to open up your stomach, yeah, to whet your appetite. Okay. So we have a steva. So the Gemara says, Hoda be Rava mehach. Rava had charata. Enoch nami. Rava. Now what do you have charata? Rashi. Rashi changes my Rashi. Hoda be Rava mehach meha. The koidem tibul umugi masnisim bimegamu poli nechanami. You're right. Gerecht. It has to be mutter across the board. It must be. And Melech must be mutter. He changes his mind. The only answer, like Abaye. Abaye's answer was, and Echnami, the Mishnah says that it's osur, is going where you spit it out. But if you swallow it, it's always mutter. There's no difference before the main course and after the main course. Hoda be rova meha. You're right, he had charata. The Gemara's answer: How do they rove mehach? The Gemara's: How do you know? Me my the mehach how do they? Maybe why are you telling me the Nechama over here that he changed his mind from a sechta Shabbos? Maybe rove had charata from the yisoid in the sechta beya. Dilma mehi how do they? Maybe had charata. Maybe taka he holds Shabbos is mutter, Yom Kippur is asur. Maybe taka he makes that differentiation between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. By the way, halacha lemaisa, we don't hold of it. Halacha lemaisa, you don't go to mikvah on Yom Kippur. I assume you all know that. It will, even though people go to mikvah, I mean, there are some. I don't think that there are. If I'm not mistaken, there are shitas they go to mikvah. So no, so does on Yom Kippur. Yeah, we don't do this. It's not by us. It's not common. The mikvahs are closed. On Rosh Hashanah, a lot of people they go to mikvah. Mamish, but we have baltokeya. They are minhagim. Right. You want the higher level of lucha, but not on Yom Kippur. Someone just put out a very chashva sefer and all the minhagim b'nogeya tzilas mikvah. Incredible sefer. So that's attack. Go look it up over there in that sefer. Just came out and hot off the press. See what he says there by Yom Kippur. But Dilma Mayhi Hodarbei, maybe at Charat, maybe the attack holds that in Echanami when it comes to Yom, there's a chiluk. Rosh on Shabbos is Mutter, and Yom Kippur is Osur. The Gemara says, no, lo sal, do not make that mistake. Since we have a contradiction, and one of the two has to give in, we're going to assume that we're giving in over here in Masechta Shabbos, and we're going to maintain Rav's opinion in Masechta Beitza that it's Mutter across the board. How do I know that? The Tanya, Kol Chayve Tfilos Toivim Kedarkon, Bein Bites Ba'ov, Bein B'yoyim HaKippur. Explicitly, it says in the Braisa that you are allowed to go to mikvah on Yom HaKippur and on Tish above this Braisa. Okay, make our hadin. And we don't do this because we don't have real tilbas on Azeh, but over here, Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't discuss. So that's the words maskana. So we're back in the maskana. We have only one answer for the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to sip vinegar, the words maskana is only when you sip it and spit it out. But if you sip it and swallow it, it's mutter, even after the meal is over. Because since this was the derech before the meal, the meal is the derech, it's mutter to do even after the meal. Okay, next. Ha'oishesh bimosnav. We remember the Mishnah person has pain in his loins, the thighs, the sides of the body, the upper part of the legs of the body. So we learn the Mishnah that you're allowed to take shemen, oil, it was the refuah, the time of Chazal, to smear oil. And somehow that was a refuah. But then the Mishnah says, but you may not use shemen vered. Vered means a rose, extremely expensive oil, and you're not allowed to use it because this, you only would use this oil, then it's nikula heya, because this is only used, no one can afford to use this out of luxury. You would only be willing to spend the money if you need it for a refuah. And then we have the famous sheet of Rabbi Shimon. I heard Rabbi Shimon say, Kol b'nei Yisrael b'nei malachim. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is joy to be a melech. You're deserving of the ultimate luxury. When you go to the hotel, 5 stars. When you go on the plane, you just tell them at the gate of the get on the plane, Kol b'nei Yisrael malachim, and you'll automatically get first class. You royal lekach. And Yasmin says, that's Rabbi Shimon. Tell them when you get on the plane, I hold like Rabbi Shimon. I hold, I tell the captain, I hold like Rabbi Shimon, he'll have to upgrade you to first class automatically. El Al, what's the nusach when you come to a dying? This is when you say, when you say, I hold like this man, I'm Kimli. Kimli, right? Kimli. El Al will say, Kimli Karabonan. You'll say, Kimli Karabi Shimon. Weiter. Rabbi Shimon. Oh, we pass like Rabbi Shimon that everyone is right for bnei Malachim, and Mela, you're allowed to use vered oil. Really? Really, that Rav, this is Rav Ada bar Zavda Omar Rav. Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon, who is always the bar Palukta of Rabbi Shimon? It's always Rabbi Yehuda. I will show you now that Rabbi Yehuda. I will show you Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Rav really holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Rav Simba Razchi, Mishmei the Rav. In the name of Rav, Hai Misuchraisa Dinizaisa. This is a stopper of a barrel. Okay, you have a barrel, and you have a beres, a spout. And when you fashtut the spout into the barrel, you wrap it with a shmata in order to then it shouldn't drip. And when you take that, that's called the misuchrais, the nezaisa. Rashi, it's the beged, korchin, the barza, it's the garment which you tie around, you wrap around the spout, that the neck, and then nothing should leak. Also, lehadoike biyoyma tova, you're not allowed to insert this shmata into the spout on Shabbos. Why? On Yom Tov. Why? Because it is filled, because it's soaking wet with the wine, and when you'll squeeze it, it's schita, and the liquid will drip out. So it's also lehadoike biyoyma tova, period. So what do we see? Now, why is this so? So what's the raya? Because this follows the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Sheina. What's so terrible? What have you done wrong by squeezing the spout, by squeezing the garment? You're causing liquid to come out, but that's not your kavana. Your kavana is to insert the beres, the spout, in the barrel. So it's a Davar Sheina Mischavein. What's the halacha machlokes? Rabbi Yehuda Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Asur, and Rabbi Shimon says Mutur. And what does it say over here? It's Asur. Asur like who? Like Rabbi Yehuda. But didn't Rav just say one moment ago that when it comes to Shemin there, we go like Rabbi Shimon? So we see that Rav follows, is a straight shooter. He follows Rabbi Shimon. And here he's following Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Sheina Mischavein is Asur. So we have a stira. Is Rav a loyal student of Rabbi Yehuda, or is Rav a loyal student of Rabbi Shimon? So we have a stira. So Asla Dukha B'yavad, the rest not a kash. Is in the case of putting in this thing into the spout, Behahi Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moide, that it's Asur to put in the shmata into the spout on Shabbos because of Psik Resha. Fine. So if it's not a kasha, and this goes according to all opinions, there was a kasha, but v'amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Huda Halacha Rabbi Huda. How can you? But another kasha, we have another member of Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, and that generally speaking Halacha Kirevi Yehuda. So you see, in this case of the Misrach of the Buzais and Echnami, it's a Psik Resha. But generally, when you drag a bench where it's not a Psik Resha, Rav said explicitly, we pass in like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Chonan Bar Ami Omar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Shimon. But Rav holds Rav Chi Masni Bar Ovi Masni Lablagavi. He learns it without any names, just very simply, Rav Amalach Rabbi Yehuda, Ushmul Amalach Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, we're back with the kash, we have a stira. Does Rav go like Rabbi Yehuda, or does Rav follow Rabbi Shimon? Ela Amar Rava Ani Va'arisha B'chavura. I am the lion. Who's the? What does that mean? Targim that we answered. Now before the Gemara gives the Gemara says, who is the lion? Umanu, who is the lion? Who is the lion of the Chavura? It's Rav Chiya Baravin. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon v'lav mitamei. What he means to say is, When Rav paskins like Rabbi Shimon, it's not because he holds from Rabbi Shimon. He's taking the same opinion as Rabbi Shimon, but not his reasoning. The Gemara explains, "My halach Rabbi Shimon v'lam tamei." What does that mean? Halach Rabbi Shimon d'shavitz muter v'lam tamei Rabbi Shimon d'shavitz mosei. I'm sorry. In other words, the answer generally is, generally speaking, let's review the site. Generally speaking, the halach is Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's the case of Dover Shem Eskabim. Okay, maybe you got to adjust it over there somehow. Turn it around or something. I don't know. Maybe turn it. Somehow, if you turn the whole machine on the right angle, there's a magic sweet spot. There's a sweet spot that does the trick. Every night, it's a different sweet spot. I have no idea. There must be some airwaves or some cell phone or something that is causing that to happen. This is transmitted. What? Now it's good, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Just by turning a little bit. But if tomorrow if you put it exactly like that, it's not going to be good. Every night is a different sweet spot.
Maybe it has to do with the shirt I'm wearing.
Maybe. Or the shirt that I'm wearing.
No.
Okay. Maybe it's because Zev walked in the room. That's why. The race radioactive, Zev. Okay, let's see. So over here, so more now at this point says the truth is everyone holds, really Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Iker. Okay, that's a very important Yisoid. Rav B'derech Klal holds like the Shita, he's loyal to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mela, when it comes to Sugid B'Shem Yitzchavim, like Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Yitzchavim, is going to be Osir. This that it says here in Masechta Shabbos, that a person has a pain, B'Mosnov, is allowed to smear Shemin Veret. It's not because he holds like Rabbi, he's loyal, blindly loyal to Rabbi Shimon. He's not loyal to Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. It just happens through them in this particular instance. There's a different time why the halacha, why the bottom line is like Rabbi Shimon, but it's not mitame. And the Gemara is saying a very big chiddush. If you don't hold of their logic, then you're not violating the rule of following them. Really, no, it's really could be Rabbi Yehuda also will agree in this instance like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Rabbi Shimon holds that Shemin Vered indeed provides refuah. It's Nikar Lehedya that you're doing refuah. Rabbi Shimon holds that, but it's not Nikar Lehedya because Kol B'nei Yisrael, Kol B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Milachim. So Mimela, he holds that it's Mutter. But Virav Sava, you know why you're allowed to use Shemin Vered? It's not a refuah. It's not approved by the FDA. It doesn't work. It just push. It doesn't work. The Mela, what are you doing? It's no problem. The Rav Savar Loi Masi. The most really, the Savar Rav Loi Masi. The Rabbi Tani B'nei Melachim Sochin Algavi Makosem Shemin Vered. Since it says that B'nei Melachim, they smear this oil, the Shavir on the wounds, V'chlal De Masi. So don't tell me this. It's not true. The Maris, you're right. You're right. Elo Halach Rabbi Shemin Deshorei. V'lam Mitamei. I'll give you another approach. The Ilo Rabbi Shemin even though it's not common. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can use Shemin Vered even though it's not available. It's not available. We'll see the Rashi how he defines it a little more precise. The Rav Savar, Rav, it depends. E shchiach in the loy shchiach loy uva asra derav shchiach mishcha devarda. It's not a kasha. When Rav paskin like Rabbi Shimon, it's because in Rav's city it was common. What's the lundis of Rabbi Shimon? The lund. What was the machlekes in the Mishnah? Rabbanon say that shemin vered is very expensive,
right.
and it's very expensive. So therefore, you're not going to waste your money on this unless you need it for a refuah. So then it's Nikolahedya. Rabbi Shimon says, you're right, it's very expensive, but so what? Kol b'nei yishol malachim. So even though it's not shchiach, it's mutter. Along comes Rav. Rav says, but what about today? We live in a country where it is shchiach. It is shchiach, so then it's mutter. So then it's not a geder of being kol b'nei yishol b'nei malachim. It's shchiach. If it's shchiach, then the melo, it's not a kasha. So even rather, Rabbanon will admit that bizman hazeh, we are allowed to use shem and ver, because shem and ver, bizman hazeh, is no different than any other ordinary oil, and therefore you're not nickel ahead. You're doing l'shem refuah. You're doing l'shem sicha, and l'shem sicha is mutter on Shabbos. Even though in the back of your mind you're doing l'shem refuah, as long as it's not nickel ahead, it's l'shem refuah. It's going to mutter. Look at Rashi. Rashi,
why don't any of these
tannaim
say it's also al simul bareh and rubbing?
Because that's only where it's only where you're dealing with a solid, something which is very mareach, is something where something is like a gel, and then by rubbing it, you make it into a liquid. When something is a liquid to start off, it's very liquidy, like liquid soap. What's that of liquid soap? Why is regular soap also liquid soap mutter, according to some opinions? Okay, I'm not getting involved in a big machler. Moshe is mechadesh, a liquid soap, it was mach, right? Rav Moshe is mach and liquid soap. What? That was a very big chishon of Moshe. Rav Moshe, the egress Moshe, chelik aleph. What? Liquid soap?
Meaning you put it in the water first.
Yeah. I don't remember. Okay. But the point is, something which is liquidy, there's no mimareach. If you deal with a bar of soap, and you put it on your body, you're taking a solid and you're turning it into a liquid. Even if you're dealing with a gel, and you put it on, you smear a gel, you're taking something from the gel form, making it into a liquid form. But when you're dealing with something which is a pure liquid from the very beginning, that's not called mimareach. There may be other issues. But
so
shemen...
Let's say that's in between.
I don't know. Is it a gel? I don't know. I don't know the answer. So what's halacha l'maaseh? How do they pass my by Perel?
And what about the foaming one that's not even a gel?
I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, right. But let's see the Rashi. Rashi here is Avav L'Shchiach. Right. Avav L'Shchiach. Shemen Veret. B'mekoy Meshol Zeh Hasach Memenu Udomav Yikorim. It's expensive. I'll call Yoidim Shem Nesach El Lerfuah. Sharei, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it's extremely expensive and it's nikkur lehed, it's still mutter. Because Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion to call Yisrael b'nei melachim heim. But Rabbi Yehuda oiser the mucha milsa. Now, v'rav nami k'rabbi desrula, he holds like Rabbi, but he's mechadesh that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in this instance, ela b'mekoymoy hu deshorei, in his locale, he was mater, the shri the sochen shemen vered, because it's not expensive. He lived in a place where it was readily available. Mela, it's not expensive. Mela, the law in mochachamils. We don't say because something's happening in the Gemara, something which is aser. And even though the reason changes, it still remains aser because even though Chazal gave you a reason, there are many more reasons. Giloy, at war that's exposed. So why? Why is it also? Because a snake may come and enter and inject poison. Right. So Bizman has that. We don't have snakes among us. So Bizman has that. If you go and you have a cup of water and you walk out of the room for 10 minutes, you come back. Are you allowed to drink a cup of water? So many places can say yes, because the time is not applicable to Zman Hazeh. But there are places that say no. Once Chazal said it's Osir, even though they gave a reason, they only gave one reason, but there are many more reasons. And you're not supposed to play around with Chazal. So therefore you would be led to believe that, if, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, if Shemen Vered is Osir, even though the only reason given is because Shemen Vered is expensive, just because you come to a new city where it's very cheap, just because the reason changes, the Halacha doesn't change. And Shemen Vered will remain Osir forever and ever, no matter where you live, no matter how cheap it is. Along comes Rav, and Rav says an awesome chiddush. No, the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda prohibited Shemen Vered is because it was expensive. But if you will come to a place where it's affordable, then it becomes mutter. That's a very big chiddush. And that is exactly what Rav is coming to be mechadish, and therefore it's not because Rav is going like Rabbi Shimon, Rav is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and is teaching us that Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mater in a place where it is inexpensive. Hajjan Allah Shman Shratzim, Hajjan Allah Shman Shratzim, Hajjan Allah Shman Shratzim. They look at Shar, now we go to Nusuya. It's not easy, Gemara. They look at Sharim Shakash, Shechem Olam, Ashechayav Nalayam. The following Kishamar, Yechayav, and Malacha, the Raisa would cash in the Mishkos, they would stitch, they would stitch the ureos, different knots when there was damage in the urea because something was not even, they would make a cut if there was a bulge in the cloth because the stitching did not go well. They would make a cut in the garment and in the urea, and then they would stitch it along where to make it perfectly flat to remove the bulge. So here, that was the kesher shel kayama that was meant to last for 40 years until they came into Eretz Yisrael. Really, it was 58 years. Gilgal, what?
It was longer than 58 years.
Why? After Gilgal, where did they go? Shiloi. They use ureas in Shiloi. Different ureas though, not necessarily the same urea. Okay, whatever it was. Shiloh was 369. It was Midbar 40 years, and was Gilgal for 14 years, and then was Shiloh? for 369 years, and then Noivi Givain. So maybe Shiloh was a different structure. They didn't have the crushing in Shiloh. It was stone, and the cover. Okay, that's a whole term. Okay, fine, whatever it is. But it was more than 24 hours. That's for sure. And it was more than a week. And it was more than a month. In the Rishonim, Rashi here mentions a very different. The Rashi mentions three zmanim. And go through the course of the Gemara, and this is a big sugi, very difficult sugi. Halacha lemaisa yipaskin. But Rashi mentions the zman of a week and the zman of a month. And there's also an issue of a zman of a day. How long?
So somebody takes it out, or it has to last that long.
You make a knot, and your intent is the knot shall last for at least 24 hours, or at least for a week.
Nobody touches it; a knot can go forever.
Forever, yeah. Certainly, that's the ultimate. If you make a knot, and your intent is the knot shall last for 50 years, that's the ultimate.
Right. Let's say you're
planning on opening the knot. If you make a wheel knot, there's a and a derabanan. Tying your shoes, right? So the Olam says, I don't know b'diyuk the halacha.
No, but that's not kesher shachiyama because it comes out.
Why doesn't it come out? You make a double knot on your shoes.
Oh, so double
knot, okay. Triple knot. During the weekday, I even make some of the triple knot on my shoes. And guess what? The triple knot comes out also. I don't know why. I have very thick shoelaces that comes out a triple knot.
So that's a right. That's not a kesher.
But that making the essence of making a double knot the etzem is a kesher shel kayama. Midrabanan, you're not supposed to do that, even though you intend to undo it within 24 hours.
Okay.
And they make a bow, you have a regular a single knot, so they have two factors working in your favor. Number one, it's very shvach. It's not shel kayama. Number two, which is the most important issue, is what is your intent? For how long do you want your shoes to last? You only want them to last for less than 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. Okay, the olden days, before you were born, they have a gartel on the Sefer Torah. They tied a kesher, a single knot. Now it's Velcro and hooks and this and that.
Yeah.
Every modern invention under the sun is used for the gartel and the Sefer Torah. But they still have them some places. The long one, you make a bow. B'Shabbos Mincha. How long is that bow going to last for? Until next Shabbos. Until Monday. Because until Monday is more than 24 hours. Okay, that's not so big because Rashi really holds that to be for 7 days. We don't pass like Rashi though. The Taz Chalik says we don't go like Rashi 24 hours. But let's say your Kavanah was.
So in Rashi's time, they would have to untie it then.
Not untie it. It's not, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to tie. They are people. They're very makpah. They make the galila on Shabbos. They don't make the kesher. They just wrap the gartel.
It's the
kavana. How long do you want it to last for? The
so
kavana is
ikar.
Both men hatoyra. The only thing that really counts is the kavana. If I'm not mistaken, okay. You have to be minded this more. Men hatoyra. The only thing that counts is the kavana. How long do I want this not to last for? More than 24 hours, you're in trouble. Midrabanan, that's not enough. Even if your kavan is less than 24 hours, if the type of knot is one that can last for a significant period of time, meaning a double knot, not a single knot, because a single knot is nothing. Even though a single knot can also last. A single knot can last for a week also. Don't get me wrong. But it's the etzem a shvach knot. A double knot is a knot which has more chashivas, which people are willing to rely upon for a period of time. That is also midrabanan.
Yeah, so we don't. You tuck it in.
You tuck it in.
Especially on the knot. We lay an haftarah from clock.
Yeah, also until you lay the next time that clock. It can be for months. Not months, whatever. It can be a few weeks, whatever it is. Okay. Hey, no chanam, you're right.
You have a
wimple,
you know?
A wimple, yeah, sure. I recently went to a wimple ceremony. It was beautiful.
A wimple.
It was a Shabbos.
A wimple. Yeah.
A wimple. It's beautiful. They're very nice wimple.
And the eyes that they have to tie with.
What?
No, they just tuck it in.
They tuck it in.
Tuck it in. Because of this issue. Okay, so this is the Yesoid. The Yesoid is, there are Tzvedinim, there is Kavana, and there is the type of knot that you make. So let's, with that Yesoid, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara is focusing primarily only on, well, the Gemara really does touch upon both, but primarily on the Kavana for Zman. Camel, the people who drive camels. They have a Lexus camel, and they make knots on the camel to tie them one to each other on the packages. So these knots are meant to last forever. So deraisa v'kesher hasaponim, sailors on the ships. There are lots of ropes on ships, and these knots are meant to last forever. So you make these knots. We'll see them in more detail. These are going to be awesome in Atayra. Ruch Hashem shuchayv al kishuron kachu chayv al heteron. He chayv for undoing a knot. That was the Mishnah. We have that's matir, untying a knot. But it has to be a matir al manas litfar. That's a klal. You have to untie it with the intent to retie it. If you just untie it, stam. Right, you have to be untied al manas litfar. Right. Matir al manas litfar. Rabbi Meir says, kol kesher shuyachol latir biyachas miyadov ein chayov nolav. So he seems to say, even if you're a kavana, take it at face value, any knot which is meant, Rashi says clearly, even if your intent is that this should last forever, you have making a single knot, and you want the single knot to last le'olam vo'ed. But the fact is, the essence of a single knot is such that people don't make it forever. You can easily undo it. And the way he describes it is ba'achas miyadov. You can do with one hand, you can just pull the strap and it's over. Ein chayav in olav, even if your kavana was for a very long period of time. So the Gemara is saying l'maskana, in order to be chayav on a deraisa, you need both factors. Kavana for a long period of time, and the type of knot is a knot which cannot be easily undone. My kesher hagamalin.
And it has to last a long time.
It doesn't have to last. Let's say a kid comes along and undoes it.
The time is 24 hours.
Okay.
And if he did make a kesher kayemet.
Yes.
And it only lasted a second, he took it apart.
It doesn't make a difference. Chayef. Yechayef. Because it's not like baking, it has to bake. Once you make the knot and al derech hateva, it would last. The kavani chay, right? My, what is a kesher hagamalin? The kesher hasafonim. Ilay mekitra the kitre bizmama. Now this means you have a camel and the camel has a nose ring. Okay, what do you do? In other words, you attach the nose ring into the animal, and then you go to the nose ring. You tie another camel, or you tie a leash, or you tie a package. I don't know what you tie, but there's a nose ring. You're tying something to the nose ring. When it comes to what the kitu the katre the iste rida. Now that's some type of hook that's attached to the ship. The ship has some type of hooks on the outside of the ship to which you were attached other things. You go and you tie to that hook. You tie packages, you tie other ships, or you tie whatever you tie. How do they translate the word? They say not to the ship's ring. That's the most. That's not true. High kesher shein shel kayamahu. That's not kayam because you have no intent for it to last a long time. Your intent is after you come to dock, after you travel a short distance. Usually, you don't travel with your camels more than a day's journey. You only travel with your camels for a couple of hours. You stop into a hotel to take a rest. You untie the package that's tied to the ring of the nose ring of the donkey of the camel, and you untie the package from the ship. So that's not that. Here's a kesher which is not meant to last for 24
maybe
hours.
Not to carry something. Maybe it's just when you pull it to dock to.
Okay, whatever. No. The Gemara is saying we have a ship and attached to the ship.
It was full of part again.
The Gemara is saying the Mitzis, you have a ship and attached to the ship there's some type of ring, and to this ring you would tie things. The Gemara says the Mitzis, whatever you tie to the string, the Mitzis says was not meant to last forever. It was only meant to last for a short period of time. So how can you tell me that that's what you Michayev min haTorah? It's not a kesher shel kayama. You have no kavana that it shall remain forever. So the Gemara says you are right. If you go and you tie something to this ring of the animal or of the ship, you potter. When it says in the Mishnah, Yichayev min haTorah ela kitra dizmama gufe, the knot of the ring itself, ude isterida gufe. Now this means one of two things. It means that the ring was not made from metal. The ring of the nose was rope itself. They would take the donkey, the camel, and they would make a hole in its nose, and they would insert sometimes a metal ring, and sometimes they would insert a rope. And the rope, they would make a knot, and the rope would serve as a ring. So the ring clothing of the donkey itself is made from rope, and it requires tying and making mats. How long do you want the ring to last in the nose of the donkey, of the camel? Forever. The life of the donkey. If you do a good job, you don't have to go back and do it again. When you have a ship and you want to go make some type of something that you can tie to the ship, so you make a hole in the ship and you put a rope through that hole, and that becomes like a ring, and to that ring you're able to go tie other things. That, when you tie it for the first time, you want it to last forever. Oh, you want it to last forever. You have to fulfill both conditions. It's kavanah to last more than 24 hours. Plus, the type of knot is a knot that's permanent. Mainly, a chayiv on a deiraisa level for kesher. Right? Rabbi Meir Oimer called kesher. That's not if you make a kesher. If you to make a knot, and your kavanah is that this knot should last forever for the next 50 years. But the type of knot you made is a single knot. It's not a strong knot. You part. You can. How does he describe it? You can pull it with one hand. The Gemara wants to understand the essence of his header. Boy, Rav Achtavuye Bar Achuye. That was his name. Achtavuye, the brother. Achuye. Achuye de Mar Bar Aviniva. What was that? What does Achuye mean? So what does that mean? Boy, the brother. Achuye means the brother of Mar. Achuye demar acha aniva lir Rabbi Meir. This their Meir is very generous. He's very lenient. Mahu taima de Rabbi Meir. What is the precise reason? Is it mishum the yochol lehatiyah bevachas miyadav? Who? That's the only thing that counts. You can undo it with one hand. V'hanami yochol lehatiyah v'hainami yochol lehatiyah. As aniva, I'm sorry. Aniva, a bow. I'm sorry. Aniva is a bow. Okay. We have to be careful what we say over here in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah said a kesher. Now, a kesher seemingly is a real knot. Okay, Rashi does not clarify more than that. Okay, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, go back to the Mishnah, Meir, call kesher. Kesher is a knot. Now, I really don't know all the pratim. I'm not clear on all the pratim. But there's a difference between a kesher and a bow. A bow seemingly is when you make a shul, and you tie your shoes, you make a bow. That's not called a kesher. A kesher is made in a way that has a more of a degree of permanence. But you can make a kesher, and you can undo it with one hand. It doesn't need, no matter how tight you make it, it's done in a way where you can undo it with one hand. So let's extrapolate. If the whole top of a kesher could you do with one hand, what about a bow? A bow also you can do with one hand. And neither a bow, lir Rabbi Meir mahu, what would the halacha be? Is time or did Rabbi Meir mishum yochol hatir b'yachas miyodav, who, v'hanam yochol hatir, the bow also, you just pull one strap and the whole thing is open. Or you deal with time or Rabbi Meir mishum deloy mahadav, because if you have a knot, and the knot is so loose, maybe what it means is that's loose, it's so loose, that you can, with one hand, you can undo the knot. Let's make a real knot. Make a real knot. You tie a double knot. Not bows. No bows. No shoelaces here. The real deal. You take a knot, but you don't tighten it. You just make a knot. It's very, very loose. And it's so loose, you can take one and you can open up the entire thing. So when you make a bow, but an aniva, mahadik. But when you make a bow is tight. So even though it's talking true that you could undo a bow with one hand, okay, you could undo it. But it's not similar to the kesher that Rabbi Meir mentioned in the Mishnah. Let's review. I'm making an assumption. I don't know if I'm saying this correct, but let's say assume the Mishnah, he says a kesher. It means a real knot. A real bonfire knot. But it's loose.
It could be a loose double knot.
You have not a loose double knot, not a bows. No bows, a real double knot, but you just have not tightened it. Rabbi Meir says it's mutter. Why? Or at least there's no chiyuv shamus. Why? Because I can use one hand to undo it. So look at the properties of this knot. On the one hand, it's loose. And the second property is I can use one hand. A bow only has one of these two properties. A bow can be undone with one hand, but a bow does not have the property of it being loose. A bow is tight. So what would Rabbi Meir say with regard to an aniva? And the Gemara concludes, Teku, let the question stand. There are knots which are similar to the knots made with the, by the camel drivers and with the boats, which we just learned. But you're not chayif. In other words, this the yisur that we started with when we started the perek is that even if you make a real kesher shel kayama, the real deal, if your kavan, at least according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, is to undo the knot within a short period of time, min hatoira, you have not done anything wrong, because kavana is critical in being chai for the same mice of making a knot. You make a knot, you make the identical knot on a boat, if you're making the knot, the actual ring itself that we learned before, chayif. But if you're making the knot that you're tying to the ring, which you intend to undo later in the day, mut, same exact knot, but the kavana by kesher kshira is critical. Each malacha of the lama tes malachas has its own shulchan aruch. So the laws of kshira have a very unique halacha. Kavana is critical. See in the gemara as we go through the gemara. Vayta new halacha kasheres isha mafteach chaluka. A woman is allowed to tie her garments. So in a period of time, Chazal wasn't like you have today, buttons, all these nice little things. It was much more complicated to get dressed. Time of Chazal, you'd have to tie, you have to really, there's a workout. You have to tie knots, some more complex than others. No problem, she can tie even real heavy duty knots because she's going to untie the knots when the day is over. V'chutei sivacha, on her head, some type of cap, head covering, they would cover their hair, they would tie knots. She can tie it and untie it, period. But she'll psika, some type of belt, a wide belt, she can tie the knots. Because obviously, what's the logic? She has no intent to wear this for a long period of time. Before the day is over, she will untie the knots. Uritsuas minol, furthermore, what about tying shoe straps? The straps of a minol of a shoe, the sandal. Sandal is a sandal, not like a shoe. It's much less, it's not as complex. The noidas and flasks of yayin, the shemen, food. You're not going to let the food spoil. You can open up at a later period of time of wine, oil, kudera, shel basar, a pot of meat. Can you imagine they have to tie the pots? So what is the halal? That's mutter. These things are permitted. Because these things are not meant to last for 24 hours or for a prolonged period of time. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're allowed to tie a knot, a rope, b'rechoiv ha-pesach, b'rechoiv ha-pesach. Okay, you're allowed to tie a chevel, Rashi says, chevel, b'rechoiv ha-pesach, in front of the door, in order to prevent the animal from escaping. Now, I'm not exactly sure the details. One may tie a rope in front of a stall of an animal so it does not go out. I guess you're locking the door somehow. I'm not exactly sure the details, but you're making a knot, and the knot is to prevent the animal from going out. There's no tzeda. By the way, the animal already is locked inside. You're not dealing with tzeda. That's another issue. Assuming there is no tzeda, but the animal is a clever animal, he may be able to figure out how to open up the door. You want to make sure he does not do so. So you tie a strap, you make a knot to prevent the animal from leaving, because the animal is not that sophisticated to open the knot. That is mutter. Why? Because by the time the day is over, you're going to open it up. It's not going to be shel kayama, kavana. Now, how good of course we have a stira. Amarta. The Mishnah begins by telling us, yesh koshim sharim she'ein chayovin aleyem kekesher hagamalim uchekesher hasaponim. There are knots that you're not chayiv. They're not as severe. There's no chayiv chatas. There's no chayiv skila. Chayuvu hudulekah. The implication is no obligation. Chayisurika. The implication is there's no chayiv chatas, but it's still awesome with the Rabbanon. And then the Mishnah goes weiter and says that it's mutul lechatchila. Kosheres isha mavtecha luka afil lechatchila. So what's going on? It seems that the end of the Mishnah, if you read the Mishnah, it appears that the second part of the Mishnah is an explanation for the first part. There are knots that are just like the kesher shel gemalim and saponim, which are, there's no chiyuv chatas, but also medevan. What are they? The list of garments, shoes, food. And but when the Mishnah enumerates the examples that are mutter, it uses an expression which is mashma, that's mutter lechatchila. So we have a steer, is a mutter, or is it also the Rabbanan? So the Mara says, Hachi Kamar, no. There's a case in between. In between the lines of the Mishnah, you have to understand. Here we go. Yesh kishadim she'ein chayav nalem kikesher hagamal mukesher asafanim. And it's not, and period. What are they? Here, umay nihu. What is it? This is what we learned in the previous, right before this mission, the top of the beginning of the parak. Kitra The kadre bismam of the kitra, the kadre be iste rida. That is the knots that you tie to the ring of the camel. The knots, the ropes that you tie to the ring of the ship. In other words, if you have a ship or you have a camel and you make a ring, you make a ring in the nose of the camel, or you make a ring in the part of the ship, and the ring is made from rope, and the way you make the ring is tying a kesher shel kayama, that is an isur de oiraisa, chayiv chatas. Period. We already have now the ship with its ring, we have the camel with the ship. Now, you want to attach an object to that ring, you want to tie another camel, all the camels follow one another, or you want to tie a package to the ship. So you have the package is in the bag, and there's a rope, and you tie the rope to this ring. That is in the middle. You tie a kesher shel kayama. Now the problem is sometimes you let it stay there for a week. Rashi points out for a week or 2 weeks because what? Let's talk about the donkey. Okay, let's clarify. You have the donkey, not the donkey, the camel. I always say that. You have the camel. Not a chasur mechsra, but it's not. The Gemara doesn't go that. There are three levels. There is the first level of the previous Mishnah when you actually make the ring. If you make a ring on a camel out of rope, and you tie, and you can make the ring by tying a kesher al kayama, this knot is meant to last forever. And that is the Isser Deraisa. Category number two. We have the ring. We now want to attach a package, or you want to attach another animal. So you tie a rope. One rope is attached to the ring, and the other rope is attached to, let's say, another animal. Now, you reach your destination. You want to release the animal from the ring. What do you do? You do one of two things. Either you release the animal by untying the knot that's attached to the animal number one, right? And now you'll have the animal that's walking around with the leash hanging loose, or you will untie the animal by untying the animal itself, and the rope will still be attached to the ring of the camel number one. If you undo it the second method, it turns out that the knot that you made, the first knot when you attach the rope to the ring of the animal number one, is going to be there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's going to be kesher al kayama. What was your intent when you did it for the very first time? You don't know. We'll see how things go. It depends what mood you're in. When you reach your destination, if you're in a good mood, you'll undo all the knots. If you're not in a good mood, you're lazy, you'll only undo the animal and you'll let it hang for a week. So being that it can happen, that it'll be a kesher al kayama for a prolonged period of time, it's awesome midrabanan. It's not awesome in our Torah, because the possibility does exist, it's very likely that you will untie it in the short period of time. But being that the possibility does exist that you'll let the leash hang on to this rope for a prolonged period of time, it's also midrabanan. But then we come to the third category of the Mishnah, where garments, where your intent is to undo right away, and that is for sure mutar. Stop here.